No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Welcome to the 250th episode of Thompson to Clark.
Wow.
Brad Evans and I, Double G here, going to talk about some Giants baseball, but I kind of wanted to go back because we before we recorded, we were like, wait, when did we start recording? And so this show, and which was the creation of the network, what became the network, it started because it was the pandemic, and I had been bugging Brad about possibly getting back on the mic, and he had some reservations just based on time and how much he'd be able to invest in it. And I was like, look, I'm going to send you a mic and we're going to practice and see if you like it. And if you like it, then we'll do it. And here we are over 5 years and now 250 episodes later.
That's crazy. And I was thinking we started in July of 2020, but I think we started before. And the reason is because they were going to start the season. Remember that? They were going to start the shortened pandemic season. And then they had all kinds of contract issues with that between Major League Baseball and the Players Association, how they were going to do things and everything else. So do you remember what we did in that time, our lead up to the beginning of the 2020 season on the show? We took a bunch of teams that we thought were our favorite and best San Francisco Giants teams of all time.
Yep.
Pitted them against each other in out of the park baseball.
Yes.
And we did best of seven series tournament because there wasn't much to talk about, but I mean, that was a blast. That was really fun. I'd like to go back to that on the side sometime in out of the park baseball and do that. No, all I had like New York Giants teams, but
that
was kind of a fun deal.
I very much remember that. And, you know, if we were ahead of the game, because we didn't have a YouTube channel yet.
Right.
So we could have, I don't know if Out of the Park would care if we just recorded those games and put them on YouTube.
Yeah.
But that would have been a thing we could have done.
Yeah. I think we tried to one time. I think with the finals, we were going to try to do it because Zoom was fairly new. People were just using Zoom. So we were going to do that and post that up. But now, obviously, we know we can screen, 5 years later, we can screen record and do all of that good stuff. But we have baseball now, which is better. And in a couple of years, we may not have baseball for a while because, the contract is coming up for Major League Baseball and there's talk of a lockout because
that would be not next year, it'd be the following year, right?
The following year. Right. Yeah. Right. So, and the big deal is the salary cap. And, we saw Manfred and Bryce Harper going at it about that. So that's going to be in the news coming up.
What did you think of DeRosa's part of that?
I thought that was a little bit goofy, and then he came back and said, "Yeah, I was just joking."
Well, no, so joking just to give context, yeah. Brad is mentioning Manfred was he in Philadelphia?
He was in Philadelphia, and he came in just kind of give a quick talk, and you know, basically talk about the state of the game and how to get fans interested and everything else, and he started talking about the salary cap. And then Bryce Harper kind of went toe-to-toe with him and was like, hey, if you're going to talk about salary caps, you can just get the hell out of here.
I like that.
I like that, too. Good.
I don't know if like that's the most strategic thing to do if you're Bryce Harper. He is a little bit of a hothead.
He is, absolutely.
But
I
did like that because it just shows you where he's at, right? There's no subtlety to it. He's like, right. This is what I'm about, and don't come in here and try to play nice because we know what you're doing, and we don't want to be part of you playing nice. So
yeah, exactly. And I like that. And then DeRosa, I think he said something like, you know, you don't F with Rob Manfred. And I guess that kind of got twisted around and turned around. And I don't really know that part of it, but and then he came out and said, I was just kind of joking around with that. So who knows?
It is an interesting thing for him because he's the World Baseball Classic Team USA manager. He is also on the MLB network. So you're kind of going like, are you analyst here or are you manager here? And I think he was trying to straddle the line, but I think it was also like, you know, because he works for both sides, right? Like being the World Baseball Classic manager, that is a chosen position from, I believe it's probably from Manfred's office to choose the manager.
It could be the Players Association. It could be, I think, you know, there's a whole USA baseball organization as well. So it could be, you know, between two or three different organizations that get together like a commission and picks, but either way, yeah, I mean, he still kind of answers to Major League Baseball in that role.
So the other part of it that I was thinking is I wonder if DeRosa was trying to maybe make a little light of it to take some of the heat off of Bryce, but I also I'm not 100% sure. He's kind of a jokey guy on Major League Baseball Network. So I thought that's maybe what he was trying to do. And it could have also been like, you know, I've heard from Manfred, these guys mean business. Like, let's make sure we're being strategic. There could have been something like that in there, but who knows? All right. What are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to have to talk about the Giants selling instead of buying at the trade deadline after a horrendous 6-game homestand in which they lost every single game. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. Disappointed for sure. But I've been preparing myself for the bottom to fall out of this thing because they could not hit for a little while. And it was just kind of one of those things where it's like a prophecy that came true that I was expecting, but I was still mad when it happened. Like, for instance, I'll give you an analogy here that's kind of timely, which is the passing of Hulk Hogan. So when I was a little kid, I was like 12 years old. No, I was still 11. And there's a famous match where Hulk Hogan faced Andre the Giant on television. And there was the twin refs, and they screwed Hogan out of the belt. And I had read in the San Jose Mercury News that Friday morning, I read what was going to happen.
Oh, geez.
So I went to school, and I told everybody what was going to happen. And it happened exactly the same way that I read it. So I was the man at school on Monday, by the way. And so I told my dad. And he's like, so, okay, so when it happens, like, you can't be mad because you already knew what was going to happen, right? Because I was a Hogan fan when I was a little kid. And it was one of the very first ever moments of, yeah, but still. Because Hogan lost, I was so mad, even though I knew exactly what was going to happen. So this is just like this Giants season. I kind of thought the bottom was going to fall out and they were going to come back to 500 because that's what they've been for the last several years outside of one. and it happened, and I was still mad. I was like, oh, yeah. I hated being right about that. But now the reality is they're 56-56, and they sold off their two of their best relievers, Camilo Doval and Tyler Rogers. And they also sold off the Yasmanian Devil, who was a kind of a polarizing player, but I think I've said this before, like if he was just the fourth outfielder instead of the third outfielder, I think people would think of him much differently than they do. But the Giants, they right at the deadline, they got rid of Doval and Yastrzemski, and we thought, we're like, oh, so they're going to be fine. Like they're coming back. And nope, right at the end of that thing, they both were gone. So before we even get to the prospects, I just want to get your thoughts on the three players who they let go, or who they traded.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants are a winning ball club since they cut dead weight. No, I'm kidding. I mean, we love Yaz. We loved hated Doval, and we loved Rogers. And there, you know, there were some on social media that hated Rogers. But I mean, the guy was, he was productive. I mean, when you look at his numbers with the Giants, he was one of the most productive relievers that the Giants had during that time span that he was on the club. And probably, some would argue, the most, because there was no consistency on the back end. He even closed some games. You remember that back in like 2020 during the pandemic year in 2021. Also in 21, he closed out some ball games.
Yeah.
So I hate losing them. And the reason I hate losing them is because it's obvious if you lose them, you're in the situation where you kind of have to. You got to sell. You got to get somebody back. You got to get some prospects back. You got to get some guys who are major league ready back. And that's kind of what the Giants did. The biggest loss for me is Yaz. I'm a big, big Yaz guy. And yeah, I get it. I mean, I'd love to see him as a fourth outfielder, but I also love to see him as a third outfielder. It's just the Giants didn't have, you know, your typical awesome one and two outfielders. Like if it was, I mean, if you had Bonds and Ellis Burks and then Yaz, then great.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, perfect third outfielder. But, the Giants had to pair him with, you know, Michael Conforto and Darren Ruff all of those years. And so, at that point you're thinking, man, if they had three other guys that he could be a fourth outfielder. But the way he played right field for San Francisco in that ballpark, and especially, I mean, shoot, we saw it his last game in a Giants uniform, him going over the wall and running into the net and making a nice diving grab over the right field foul wall. And his at bats weren't fantastic. He had some clutch here and there, but he was a 2+ WAR guy, 2 to 2.5 WAR guy. And I'll take that as a third outfielder if you've got two strong other outfielders. The Giants just never did. They couldn't pair him with anybody. So they all hurt. But you know what? You got to move forward. You got to look at the years to come. And that's kind of the key to making those moves. It could have been worse. I mean, shoot, they could have gotten rid of Robbie Ray. They could have gotten rid of so many other players too. And all of those would have hurt too. But you know, they're trying to keep the core together and do their thing and push these guys over the finish line in the coming years as the core group. So hated it, but had to be done.
The Yaz one makes a lot of sense because he is coming up for free agency. So right. they wouldn't have any more options on his contract. And the Doval one, I wasn't quite sure about it because he still had some controllable years. And my thought was, if you're going to trade him, you need to get something worthy in return. And they went more with the quantity over quality, it seems. But we'll go through those guys in a second.
Yeah.
The Tyler Rogers one, I think they made out pretty good on that one. I think they got two guys who you might be able to plug in the next this year and maybe next year for a guy who they were going to lose in free agency. More than likely, I guess.
Sure.
So that's my take on the actual trades. You know, you never want to lose guys. Mike Yastrzemski is a starting right fielder. I take it or leave it. If this game, if you could have a designated fielder Mike Yastrzemski would be awesome. Like,
yeah,
if we get to that level of baseball, and you're like, oh yeah, you get designated hitter, designated fielder.
He's
so great in right field.
You used to have defensive replacements back in the days, like the 80s and 90s. Late in the game, you'd have a defensive replacement when you'd have like a two-run lead or whatnot. And you just don't see that anymore. So he's not the type of guy. And plus, I mean, is he going to want to stick on a team and be a defensive replacement? I don't think so. His first game, he goes over to Kansas City and goes yard in his first at bat against Kevin Gausman. I mean, the alternate, you know, you talk about Marvel, alternate universe, and that was pretty much it right there.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I thought, there's no malice towards the strips. You want to see him do well.
No,
if he can help,
no.
the Royals, awesome. I don't have any problems with that at all. Okay, so let's talk about what they got in return, and the folks they got in return were for Doval. It was Tristan Vreeling. Have you heard the pronunciation?
Yeah, I think I've heard like Vreeling. Yeah, I've heard
was
both. But
the Yankees number 19 prospect from MLB.com. Jesus Rodriguez was the other one that was ranked on the prospect list, number 25. And then they got two other guys who I don't have listed. Those are the ones who I think the Giants are like, you know, if you're hoping for two guys to actually show up for you for the Doval trade, those are the two. Rodriguez seems like they think he can hit at the big league level, which is great. Not sure if he can catch at the big league level. He may also have become a multiple position guy. But what did you think about the prospects they got for Doval?
You know, I know you weren't super high on them. I'm not super high on them either. But you know what? I listening to Buster Posey and reading some of his other quotes that he has said too, I think they're just kind of looking for guys right now that aren't going to be ready in 3 or 4 years, but they could plug them into the roster maybe next season, as quickly as next season. Are they going to be, you know, stand out the guy? No, they're not going to be. But the Giants are going to go into free agency looking for those guys, or even trade. I mean, some of these guys could be flipped for a trade and for like a Stephen Kwan. Like, you can give a pretty decent enough package, especially if the Giants can develop these guys a little bit more. You can trade for a piece, you know, a solid right fielder or whatnot. So yeah, I wasn't super high on them, but I like the idea of guys that could come in and do a little bit of damage this year and also show their development and be trade pieces down the line.
All right. So actually, I was pulling the other two guys. My initial research only had the two players. Okay, so the other two players that they got were Parks Harbor. What a name.
Yeah.
Third baseman. And left-handed pitcher Carlos De La Rosa. So those are the other two names. Okay, so then for Tyler Rogers, they received Blake Tidwell and Drew Gilbert, who were both in the top 12 of Mets prospects. So those are the guys that I think should be able to help the Giants maybe even this year, but more than likely at least next year. They also are a little bit on the older side when it comes to prospects.
Yeah, and they call basically Drew Gilbert as like another Yaz, but on the younger side. Blade Tidwell could possibly help you out on the back end of the rotation, which is what the Giants need. I mean, the Giants needed some starting pitching in return because they were getting so thin with getting rid of Harrison and the nice thing too is I can't remember which one of these players, but one of them is, you know, just somebody ranked the prospects that were traded to every team during the trade deadline. And I want to say it might've been Gilbert was just above James Tibbs III, who we traded over to Boston in the Devers trade, and then he went over to Los Angeles to the Dodgers in the Dustin May trade. So to know that you have a guy that's like right around there, you know, of that caliber, and you got him back, But he's also ready to possibly be in the major soon. It's kind of a nice deal because Tibbs, we knew he was just going to have a hard time hitting. You know, he started out of the season fantastic in high A ball, then he went to double A and just struggled hard, went over to Boston, struggled hard in their minor league system as well. So what's going to hurt the most is if Tibbs the third becomes a Dodger great, then we're going to have a
think about who's there in the Dodgers organization and who drafted him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Farhan was salivating to get him back, it sounds like.
Yeah, totally.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And then we got my favorite player just on name only. How did they pronounce his name? Jose Buto?
Buto. Yeah, Buto. they just called him Buto yesterday. Because I watched the game yesterday. I watched the game the other night, and it was they called him Buto.
There you go. It's my favorite guy now.
Yeah, it was actually, just to be clear, it was Drew Gilbert who was ranked 6th of all the prospects traded. This is from Kylie McDaniel. He writes for ESPN. He put Drew Gilbert as 6th of all the prospects traded. James Tibbs the third is 7th. And then we had another one in there. Let's see who else we got. Blade Tidwell, he put it number 18. So that's kind of nice to see. That we had a couple players in the top 20 that we traded for. And of course, like you said, both in the same trade, both guys that could possibly help this team this year. And the Giants are going to need pitching. So I don't doubt that we're going to see Blade Tidwell. And Blade Tidwell is such a fantastic baseball name also. But I don't doubt that we're going to see him in the back end of the rotation, probably this season at some point. Reports of Birdsong, his starts have been pretty good. The last 2 starts, he's really cut down on the walks, which is nice to see. But before that, his walk numbers were horrendous, and that's what put him back down in AAA. So having a guy like Blade Tidwell, I think is going to be pretty good. And Buto came in yesterday. I think runners at first and second, 1 pitch double play, got out of the inning and got Wiz that win, man, which was awesome.
So speaking of Wiz, actually, for a second, then we'll get to the Yaz trade. He got his first win. He's an interesting pitcher in today's day and age because he doesn't have a blowaway fastball and he relies on a super changeup, which if you know that you're facing him, maybe all you look for is the changeup because the fastball isn't overpowering. And so I started thinking about this. Who would he kind of be comparable to in the past? And he throws harder than this guy does, but by average, if you were to average the arms back in the early 2000s and the late 90s to today, I'm sure he sits very similarly to the person I'm going to compare him to. If he gets the control down the way that he needs to, I wonder if he could be a version of somebody like Kirk Reeder.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good comparison. I think he could be better than Kirk Reeder, for sure, if he gets the control down. Because you, I mean, if you watched the game yesterday, you saw what he did to Juan Soto. I mean, on the first pitch changeup, the first time that Soto saw him, he just dropped that thing in there, and Soto was so far out ahead of him. It was ridiculous. Of course, Lindor hit it for a home run, but he had seen a couple of those beforehand. It's just, yeah, like you said, the fastball and the sinker and the slider, they're just all three of those pitches are all over the place. But then he started attacking the zone, and once you attack the zone, you know, good things happen, especially early in the count. If you can get count leverage and then you could use that changeup, that thing is so nasty. But yeah, you gotta, I don't even think he needs to hump up the fastball anymore. I think he just needs to paint. But yeah, the Kirk Reeder, that's a good comparison. I like that.
The reason why I like him is because, or why I like that comparison is because in 2000, you know, I'm sure the average fastball was probably like less than 95, whereas today, you know, it's more than 95. And so Kirk is throwing, you know, mid to high 80s at most. So his average, like his velocity is probably like 6 or 7 miles per hour slower. And it's kind of similar to Wisenhunt. You know, his fastball's probably sitting at 92 for most of the game. So I, you know, from the day and age of evolution of baseball, I sort of feel like he's a little readery, and being left-handed, he could be a little bit more crafty, but it's really going to be about spotting the fastball, because if he misses with that fastball, he's going to give up a lot of home runs.
And, absolutely. Because, yeah, if you throw that down the middle of the plate, it's just going to get absolutely crushed. But there's going to be need to be pitch development. He's really got to work on the slider and the sinker. The slider was just a mess yesterday in Sunday's game. I think he even went away from it and just kind of started going, look, I'm going fastball, sinker, and change. I'm going to see what I can do with those. Because the slider was just pretty ugly early on. Just could not locate it.
So let's go back to the trades. And we're talking about the Yaz trade. Who they got back from him was probably not much. Junior Marte, the Royals' 20th prospect, young A-ball guy. I don't sense that there was a lot of optimism that he's going to be like a star in the deal, but they'll, you know, they have good lower level minor leagues, so I'm sure he'll fit in and they'll figure it out. But this seemed more like let's get Yaz somewhere where he can kind of go do something, because we don't really have plans. We need to see certain players more than we need to see Yaz on the last year of his deal.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Again, hate to see it, but you know, if you can get something for him and you're a 500 ball club at the trade deadline, you just gotta do it.
Okay. So now let's talk about this team as far as what to expect from these guys. They are currently sit 56 and 56. We're recording this while they're playing the Pittsburgh Pirates in game one of the series in Pittsburgh. They don't come home until Friday. Is it Friday?
I think so. Yeah.
I actually might go to Saturday's game. I'm nice. Planning on it. We'll see. But I'm 0-2 this season, so it's not great so far. You and I are 0-2.
I'm 0-4 in the last 2 years.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll see. I almost feel like I'm bad luck. But today, as of today, 56-56. So they're right smack dab at 500. And so I looked at the the amount of wins it would take. And this is, I'm just taking historical information. I didn't take it as far as what the records are this year. But historically, for the Giants to win the first wild card, they would have to average roughly around 95 wins. Second wild card is closer to 90, and the third wild card is like 86, 87. So if the Giants would even get to 86 wins, the Giants would have to go 30-20 the rest of the way.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem doable necessarily to me unless the team gets on a hitting streak of sorts. Because if they do, I think they do have the starting pitching that could enable them to win a lot of games. They may not have the back end of the bullpen anymore if you're relying on Ryan Walker in the eighth inning now in front of Randy Rodriguez. Before it's like, oh, we have Doval and Tyler Rogers, are in that spot. That sounds tough. 31, 32, 33, which is maybe what it will take to get there this year, because currently the San Diego Padres are in that third wild card spot at 62 wins. So they are 12 games over 500. And if they finish the season 12 games over 500, that would be 92 wins. So the Giants would have to catch up. They'd have to play some catch up here in order to do that. So I don't know what to expect. Do we expect them to play 500 ball? Do we expect them to play worse than 500 ball? Or could they possibly make a small run here and make things interesting and just hope that San Diego is actually the team who went all in at the trade deadline?
Yeah.
They got the Miller kid from Oakland. So that is, I fully expect them to maybe play slightly under 500 baseball the rest of the way. But what do you think? And do they have a chance to kind of sneak back into this thing?
You know, I see a lot of talk about it, and I understand. I get it. It's exciting to talk about it and to think that this team could. This team's going to be you hit on the biggest part of it. This team's going to be searching for its bullpen identity going forward. That was their strength. Now it's not. Now they've really got to try to figure out bits and pieces. Are you going to have Bivens throwing the eighth every other night? No, you're not. Is Ryan Walker, when Eric Miller comes back, are those guys you can rely on as like your lights out guys? No, not necessarily, because we've seen it. They've both struggled this year. So they're going to be hurting on the back end of things. In one run ball games, they're going to be tight, and they're going to probably blow more saves than they get. I shouldn't say blow saves, because I don't think Randy Rodriguez is going to be the issue. I should say blow holds. You're going to have guys who are going to come in to hold the game in the seventh or eighth. They're not going to quite get out of it. You've got Buto. I'm just looking at the River Cats roster right now too. And I mean, you got Birdsong, you got Mason Black. I mean, other than that, I'm searching, man. I'm not seeing anybody else who's going to come in. Blade Tidwell, but again, these are mostly starters.
Yeah,
Sean Jelly, he passed through waivers, right? Nobody grabbed him, and so he's back in AAA. Carson Ragsdale was claimed by the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, wow.
So he's not coming back. So I don't know. I don't see a lot of answers for the bullpen hanging out in Sacramento right now, but I could be wrong. I mean, they could pull guys up and all of a sudden you've got a guy who's, got two just dirty pitches who translates well to the major leagues. But I'm thinking this is more of a 500 ball club, and I'm fine with that. And as soon as we started making those trades, I thought, okay, for the Giants to do something offensively, this team would need to carry them in late in ball games. And we haven't seen that. There is no proof of that happening. So that's why I'm a little bit, and usually, you know me, usually I'm optimistic. I'm on the pessimistic side because I'm looking at this going, I mean, there's not a lot of proof in 2025 that all of a sudden this team's just going to become like the team that carries, you know, the offense carries this team into the playoffs. So yeah, I'm just looking for some fun baseball. I'm looking for guys to come up like Gilbert who are going to, you know, be a little more athletic and help this team steal bases and score some runs and do some different things, but I'm not, you know, banking too much on it. So yeah.
All right. Let's chit chat a little bit about some of the stuff from the weekend or from the week. Like I said, they had the horrendous homestand, which caused Buster to pivot. And then they came back and they won 2 out of 3 in New York. And if you're a New York Mets fan, you're probably really pissed off because they made a bunch of trades, including grabbing Tyler Rogers. One of those wins was the 12-4 win on Sunday. Whenever the Giants win big like that, I'm like, can we just save it and spread the runs for the following week? Like, let's stop at 6. We only need 6.
Don't go crazy.
Let's spread the rest and so we don't get shut out 2 games in Pittsburgh. But so that's a positive thing, right? Like that gives them a little bit of hope. I don't know if you read the story, but Wilmer Flores' little son can now go into the clubhouse. Did you read that story?
Yeah, he can go in during. So he could only go in during wins, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they got to win some games at home, and he can get back.
Yeah, because otherwise he cries if he doesn't get a chance to go in. If they lose, he's not allowed. They don't allow kids, family, or anybody into the clubhouse. So apparently. And he's a little dude, so he doesn't understand. You know, game's over. Dad's in the clubhouse. He wants to go in. 6 games in a row, he could not. So, yeah, that was kind of sad. That was a good story. That was that Bags, right, who wrote that The Athletic about years ago when Wilmer Flores thought he was getting traded from the Mets, and he went out in the field and showed some emotion. He cried, you know, he let it all out there, and it was kind of upsetting to watch and felt bad for the guy. But a really good story. I liked it.
All right. So the other thing that we need to talk about is Bryce Eldridge, who hit 3 jacks in a game, and he now has 10 home runs at AAA. And you had thought maybe he comes up, and I said, well, it sounds like Buster wants him to stay down there, but you had a great point, which is maybe he forces the hand, and like, you know, you're hitting so well at AAA that they want to give you a shot to get some ABs at the end of the season here. I'd be for it, but JJ asked me why they may not do it, and I said, well, you also don't want him to fail when he gets here, because then if he fails, then, you know, and we've seen that, right? Matos, Ramos, when he would first come up, he was constantly failing, and these guys get down on themselves, and though you may learn some things like how to get out of slumps and stuff at the big league level, but you want to lay it out for the guy to be to possibly be more successful. And if you don't think he's fully ready, mind, body, and soul, because there's an emotional toll to this whole thing because he's such a young kid. That would be a reason to keep him down for the rest of the season.
Well, and we talked about last week too. And I'm at the point now where you make those trades you do at the trade deadline. Let's do it. Bring him on up because I know he's still working at first base and how to be a first baseman. But I mean, we watch Devers, and I'm okay with getting Eldridge in at first base because watching Devers can be pretty painful sometimes. And I'm all for him learning at the major league level. But yeah, I mean, the biggest factor is that he's 20 years old. If he was 21 or 22, I think it would be a different story.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's 20 years old, that I get, you know, if he hangs out and, you know, ends up playing AAA the rest of the season. And he's hitting like, I mean, I think his OPS over the last couple of weeks is like 900.
Wow.
But so then if he finishes the season hot, on fire, doesn't get any major league at bats, and he goes into spring training next year, his 21-year-old year, with a fire to win that position, I like that too. You know, everybody, I hear a lot of talk about, well, Encarnacion's back, and, you know, what about Luciano getting his chance and everything else? And I mean, there, you know, there's a business to it too. I don't know. I tried to find the options left for Encarnacion, and I know he was signed as an international free agent. So I don't even know if he has options at that point then. I don't think you can bring him up and down if he was an international free agent, but I'm not 100% sure. He only has like barely a year of service time.
Right.
And his rehab was up. And so they had to do something with him. You can't leave him down in AAA apparently if he has no options. I mean, and so that's why I'm thinking he doesn't have any options, because otherwise I thought they would have left him down and, you know, hey, keep swinging, keep getting a hot bat. Let's bring up Luciano and see what he could do. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm torn on Eldridge because, like you said, I don't want to see him fail. I don't think he's a fragile kid, though. I remember him, an interview with him last year where he was cocky, man. I think he's ready to perform on the big stage. So that's kind of what I'm excited to see.
Okay. So some of the moves that they made otherwise, we saw like you said, Jelly, he got DFA'd, he cleared. Ragsdale got DFA'd. He did not clear. He's now with the Orioles. We saw Encarnacion come back up today. Matos went back down. And I guess that was it of recent. So this is going to be interesting for Encarnacion because he's only got 60 games left. Or 50 games left. Sorry. There's only 50 games left in the season. He's got 50 games left to prove that he deserves to be on this roster, or else I don't think he's going to be on the roster. And that means he's got to hit. Cause again, you're talking about a DH and a bad outfielder. The Giants have many of those guys, DHs and bad fielders, including their number one hitter, Devers. So you can't just stick Encarnacion in a position and go, hey, go out there and you're going to be our starting left fielder. It doesn't work like that. Cause he's not great. So I'm assuming he's going to get some reps in right field, though, because he's got to, unless it just means that Devers is going to play some more first base, which, you know, that's going to hurt your infield defense a little bit. So what do you think about Encarnacion? Does he stick? Can we even tell? Because he's just missed so much of this season, which was going to be his put up or shut up season.
Yeah, that's kind of tough. He has missed a lot. I'd like to see him succeed, but like you said, there are some other guys I want to see play right field or DH as well, because again, we have plenty of guys who aren't going to play right field well at Oracle. They're going to frustrate you, and you're going to miss Yaz very quickly. But there was something you sent me last week about, it was pretty interesting, about how Jung-Hoo Lee's metrics in center field make it sound like he's not necessarily a center fielder, that he could be a left fielder or a right fielder. So if you move Jung-Hoo Lee to right and he learns how to play Oracle right field, and you put Grant McRae in center field, and now all of a sudden you've got a stellar defensive outfield again. But what did that get us? A stellar defensive outfield didn't get us a whole lot. So when the rest of the lineup isn't doing anything, it really becomes a glaring hole. But yeah, I'd like to see Encarnacion hit some towering home runs and hit some line drives of 110 plus, which we've seen he can. Mm-hmm. But again, you're running out of time. We're in August now. So if you're going to start auditioning guys for next year, we're kind of at that point now. I don't really want to wait until September 1st.
Yeah, the conversation about Jung-Hoo was maybe he could be like a really gold glover in left field, sort of like how Kwan has turned into such an asset defensively, and that he's not as good in center field. So maybe you do go and find a better defensive center fielder, and then you can push Jung-Hoo to left. But The problem is you can't have two guys who are just singles hitters, because that would that's really bad for your outfield. So it'd have to be someone who could hit a little bit to play in center. All right, before we get to our new this week in Giants history segment, we do have a player of the week to talk about. Yeah. Who is our player of the week?
Yeah, and it's a guy I was just saying, he's on fire. Jung-Hoo Lee is our player of the week. The guy is just tearing it up right now. Not only is he tearing it up, he's got an 11.5% walk rate over the last week, too. So he's getting on base. His strikeout rate is down to 3.8% for the week. This is the guy who we thought we were getting.
Yeah.
You know, an article I'd read over the week, over the weekend, pretty much said that Bob Melvin was very, very happy that he was starting to go the other way. Mm-hmm. Basically, like we used to say when we played, take some shaft out, right? And and go the opposite field, just slap stuff up, you know, center field, and for him, opposite field is left field. So to see him going that way, it is really, really nice. And he hit 364 on the week with a 500 slugging, on base percentage of 462. Stole a couple of bases.
Yeah, that's the thing that we like.
Yeah, exactly. Scored four runs, because when he gets on base, people are driving him in, and that's what we want to see from Jung-Hoo Lee. Now, does he work his way back into the three hole or even the leadoff hitter? Because are you tired of seeing Elliot Ramos? I know you said last week we were talking about it on the chat. Why is he batting? Why is Elliot Ramos batting leadoff? Well, I mean, maybe Jung-Hoo Lee is going to force that to change a little.
Yeah. I mean, my thought with that is just that you're trying to get Ramos to see fastballs.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the ways you can do that is to start the game with him. And, you know, there's nobody on base, so you don't have to worry about him being pitched around a little bit. And maybe he does see a few more fastballs. That was just my guess. But at the same time, he's not your prototypical leadoff hitter, and he doesn't really run, and so you're just hoping that he sees an opportunity to hit some extra base hits. But if he does hit an extra base hit in the leadoff spot, a lot of the times there's going to be nobody on base, so there's a little bit of like a conflicting message there. And so yeah, I'm glad that If Jung-Hoo could actually fit in that spot, I think it does help the lineup, because that's kind of where that's where he fits as a player. That's what his you know, his stats have said, and you know, or maybe a two slot hitter, right? He may not have enough power to do what some of the managers want their two hitters to do, but still, you just see Ramos there, and you're like, okay, either this guy's gonna hit a double or he's gonna strike out, and so you know. That's kind of the thing with that. You want that table setter, you know.
It would be nice to see McCray, because I know McCray is getting a lot of at bats right now. Have McCray bat ninth, and then Jung-Hoo Lee first. The problem with McCray batting ninth right now that I see is like when Patrick Bailey gets on ahead of him, and then McCray gets up. And he hits a ball that he thinks could possibly be a triple. You got Patrick Bailey in front of you, who's not slow. I mean, we joke because he's a catcher. We've seen him. I mean, he had inside the park home run. But still, when you got a guy like Patrick Bailey in front of you, you really want to see Grant McCray like use those wheels. So But yeah, if there's any way they can pair Jung-Hoo Lee and Grant McCray together in the lineup somewhere, I think that'd be really nice to see.
So our this week in baseball history. So just to let some of the listeners in on kind of the inside baseball, if you will, of the show, I've been trying to figure out a way to use AI to help us improve our rundown. And one of those things was to create a bot that would do a Giants history segment like this week in Giants history. I don't really care what time frame it is. But the problem with it is the information is not always great, because when we double check the information, we're like, okay, this date is wrong. So I'm going to really work. I'm going to work next week on trying to really rev on that thing and get that thing to actually work. Because what Google AI wanted me to, or Gemini it's called, what they wanted me to use was Willie Mays' 600th home run. But when I fact-checked it, Willie Mays' 600th home run was actually in September, not in August. So I can't really reverse engineer it, but I'm really trying to wonder what they think that is and why there's the mix-up. In AI terms, it's called a hallucination when the information is just wrong.
Right.
But there is an August 1st Willie Mays statistic. August 1st, 1961, Willie Mays hit 4 home runs in a game against the Milwaukee Brewers, leading the Giants to a 14-4 victory. This happened at County Stadium. He also drove in 8 runs. And the funniest thing is about that game is he was possibly not going to play because he was ill and thought he had food poisoning. So you're telling me Willie Mays hit 4 jacks when he possibly had both diarrhea and wanting to throw up at the same time. Amazing.
That's his flu game, right?
Yeah, that's his flu game right there.
That's the Michael Jordan flu game. the greats, man. The greats, when they get sick, they dial in a little bit more, it seems. So
it's crazy.
And you and I, when we get sick, at least I know, you power through. When I get sick, I dial it down, man. I look for any excuse to stop. That's the thing is, I'm a go, go, go. You're a go, go, go. But when you get sick, you're like, I'm going to do another show on top of that. I'm good, man.
Oh, man. No, it's, it's a mind thing for me. Like your mind is saying, you know what? If I relax, I'm going to feel better, which is smart. Yeah. And my brain says, if I relax, I'm going to actually feel worse.
You're going to get worse.
So try and not relax and try and pretend like it doesn't exist. And it's just the way that we handle it.
When I get sick, I get on the couch and I'm like, let me try this. What's it like to lay on the couch and just like watch TV? Because I don't really know what that's like. So I give it a shot and then I'm like, okay. And then same thing, I get restless and then I try to take a nap and the nap doesn't work. And then I'm like, I'll go to bed early. And then 10 o'clock rolls around. I don't go to bed. So I don't know. It's a mess.
Okay. So last segment here, actually, before we get to the last segment, I just wanted to read through the standings here, which I find to be very interesting because there's so many nice races going on right now. The Phillies, this is all based on yesterday. I don't know if any teams have finished today's game.
There haven't been many games that have played. I think they're all playing right now. So
Phillies half game lead on the Mets in the East. So that's going to be a nice race down these last 50 games.
Yeah.
The Brewers 2 games ahead of the Cubs. So another solid race in the Central. And the Dodgers 3 games up on the Padres, with the Giants like kind of peeking in, but maybe not really peeking in. They're just like hanging out there. And in the AL, you have the go-go Blue Jays. Jesus. This is what happens when you can hit the baseball, man.
Yeah, right.
They are 3 games ahead of the Red Sox and 4.5 games ahead of the Yankees. The Tigers, who have kind of come back down to earth a little bit, they no longer have the best record in baseball, which in fact belongs to the Milwaukee Brewers of all teams. The Tigers are 8 games ahead of the Guardians, so I think we're in the clear there, unless there's a major fallout. And then the Astros are 2.5 games ahead of the Mariners, so nice little race there.
Mm-hmm. Mariners did a lot of stuff in the at the All-Star break, mainly getting Eugenio Suarez.
I thought you were going to say Eugenio Velez. I was like, this dude is still playing?
Yeah, Eugenio Velez. No, he's I don't know what the hell he's
hands of stone right there.
Hands of stone, big time, man. He had all that speed and couldn't do anything with it. Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah. So the American League wild card race, the Red Sox, Yankees, and the Mariners are in the top 3 with the Rangers, the Guardians, the Royals, and are kind of in the mix there. You know what's funny is the Giants traded Yastrzemski They have almost the same. They have the same record as the Royals. Yeah, but the Royals are just a little bit closer in the mix than the Giants are. So that's right. Kind of a funny thing about the different leagues.
Yeah, that's a little bit more open there. The American League wild card because, yeah, I mean they're just hanging out 3.5 games back. I mean it's Boston, New York, and Seattle with the wild cards there. And you know how Seattle is. Seattle can just all of a sudden fall apart. That's what they do. Texas hasn't shown that they could really jump ahead. The Guardians are having a betting scandal going on, so they're losing pitching left and right to that. So yeah, I mean it's kind of a little bit open. And you figure too, if you've got Bobby Witt Jr., mm-hmm. right, you got to do what you can to try to
go for it, man.
Yeah, get him into the playoffs each year because that team could do some damage, you know. So yeah.
National League wild card, the Cubs, the Mets, and the Padres are the top three with Cincinnati and then the Giants 4 and 6 games back. Marlins are also 6 games back. Cardinals are 6.5 games back. All right, so let's finish up this show, the 250th episode of Thompson and Clark with a little bit of old guy alley here. So Crystal and I celebrated our 5th wedding anniversary, which kind of coincides with this podcast as far as how many years we've been doing this.
Yeah, right.
Crystal and I got married not too long after we kicked off this podcast. And, you know, we were doing the thing about, you know, gifts. You know, we kind of get anything we need and we don't really need a ton. Right. So I had mentioned our pickleball experience a couple weeks ago and, you know, we're all in on pickleball, by the way. That's so awesome. Fun.
I like that.
So I had purchased a couple of new paddles for us and a bag and some pickleballs. And it was kind of a gift for both of us because we're playing together for our anniversary. And then, you know, a few days for the anniversary comes, she's like, just FYI, you know, we probably don't really need to spend a lot of money on gifts and, you know, let's try and keep it under $25 and this and that. And that, and I was like, well, okay, but I already spent the money, so who cares? So she had given me, for our anniversary, I guess 5th anniversary is the, like, wood is kind of like the, you know, the different anniversaries, there's like different themes to the gifts or whatever. So the wood anniversary. So she gave me a, it's not even a glass, cause it's not made out of glass, but it's a whiskey goblet or something, made out of wood. So that's what I'm drinking.
Cool. I like that.
And as I was thinking about doing Old Guy Alley, I was like, wait a second. How long has Brad and Denise been married? Because you guys were dating when we were in college. So I know it goes back at least that far. And I know how long we've been out of college for a long time. So I was thinking about your next anniversary. What number is that going to be?
So we met in 1997. And then started dating like early 98. We knew each other from class, advertising class at San Jose State, man. That was ages ago.
Love it.
And we got married in 2001, like a month after 9/11. It was already planned. We had everything planned. We were going to go to Disney World for our honeymoon and didn't even really get through the planning stage. And then 9/11 happened. And we're like, yeah, we're not flying. We're not flying to Florida a month after that. So we drove down to Disneyland for our honeymoon. So we did Disneyland and not Scary Farm because we went on Halloween because we got married October 27th. So this year is our 24th. That's the Willie Mays anniversary.
There you go.
The 24 year. So next year in 2026 is the 25th anniversary. I don't even know what it is. Like, what are those? Like, And the funny thing is, I don't even think Denise knows either. I don't think we're too keen on like what are you celebrating? What's 25 years, you know?
I think it's silver.
Is that silver?
25 okay. Is the silver anniversary.
Let's look it up. Anniversary, years, material.
Sterling, right? Silver. Really? Yeah.
Okay. The first anniversary is cotton. What the hell is that? Paper. No, the second is cotton.
Yeah.
All right. 25th is silver. Yeah, I don't even know. And we're the same. Like, we don't buy anything for each other for anniversary. We go places.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This and we always go because it's right around. The problem is we got married October 27th. Then we moved to Nevada. The last Friday of every October is Nevada Day, the day that Nevada was, brought into the union and became a state. So they celebrate Nevada Day. So the last Friday of every October, you get that day off. Mm-hmm. And then it's usually right around Halloween also. So we don't go anywhere because the kids used to be doing like Halloween activities and all kinds of stuff. We like being here for Halloween. So we always go Veterans Day. Like, you steal a free day off
right
by going around that time, and there's less people and stuff like that. So this year we're going to Vegas and we're actually staying at like a super fancy Marriott and stuff like that for a couple of days. So that's kind of what we do. I guess silver, I don't know, maybe I'll you know what? We need some new butcher knives. And those are silver, right?
So we'll
do that next year.
Maybe somebody on the Giants could actually win a Silver Sluggers Award.
That'd be nice. Sure. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
All right. So that is it from here. Happy 250th. And if there's anybody out there who's listened to all 250 episodes, my heart is with y'all. And you know, it's funny. We talk about the reviews on Apple Podcasts and such. And
yeah,
I'm actually mentioning this one because it kind of bothered me, but you know, we are the Bay Area Sports Podcast Network. And somebody wrote in and said, I love the Giants stuff. I like the Warriors stuff, but the Valkyrie stuff caused me to unsubscribe. And I was like,
what? No, it didn't.
I was like, you know what? Okay. If you're a Valkyries fan, I mean, if you're not a WNBA fan or not a Valkyries fan and you see the title in the feed, I guess unsubscribe is fine rather than just like delete, like just, oh yeah, delete this one. But I want to hear these, you know, I want to hear the Giants talk. I want to hear the Warriors talk. It is right smack dab in the middle of the WNBA season. So, of course, we're going to have more Valkyries podcasts than Warriors podcasts. But we're going to start picking up on Niners. Rod and I are going to be back this weekend. I think it's going to be after the first preseason game. We're kind of tentatively scheduled for after the first preseason game. If it doesn't happen and we go to the next day, then that may happen as well. But I'll schedule it in for the YouTube live stream. We'll schedule it. And then Brian is back from his vacation. And so we'll have something hopefully this week Valkyries related. And the Valkyries are essentially the Giants, except it is their first season and they don't have any marquee players, and they're right in the mix of the playoffs. They're like right at the end there. The eighth seed is what they're fighting for, and they don't have, like, they're a brand new team, so they're overperforming.
They also haven't been 500 like 27 years in a row, so they don't have to worry about that.
But if the Valkyries get in the playoffs, I think that'll be pretty fun, and maybe Brian and I will do something pretty special for that. All right, that is it from here. Thanks, everybody, for listening and sticking with us for 250 episodes here.
Appreciate it.
So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.